From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Pablo Arauz Peña with your state and local news update. An international human rights body has agreed to hear from Southeast Alaska tribes concerned about cross-border pollution. The tribes want more protection from British Columbia's mining sector that's active in transboundary watersheds. Coast Alaska's Jacob Resnick reports.
A booming Canadian mining area, known as the Golden Triangle, is key to Northwest British Columbia's economy. But Southeast Alaska tribes, fishermen, and other concerned citizens say while the Canadian mining sector enjoys all the economic benefits, those downstream bear much of the ecological risks. Efforts to elevate the issue to the international level have had some successes, and recently the Inter-American Commission on Human Rights has agreed to investigate a petition filed by a coalition of 15 tribes. The Southeast Alaska Indigenous Transboundary Commission's Tiss Peterman told Alaska lawmakers at an April 27th hearing that its most recent petition was submitted last summer,
which basically stated that the transboundary mining will have devastating effects on our way of life and downstream communities.
The D.C.-based human rights body is an arm of the 35-member Organization of American States, of which Canada joined in 1990. Formal cross-border efforts at the state and provincial level have been in place since 2015, when both sides signed an agreement pledging cooperation on transboundary resources. But tribes have complained that progress has slowed, and there's been little to no consultation with tribes since the state's political transition following the election of Governor Mike Dunleavy. Ray Paddock of the Central Council of Tlingit and Haida Indian Tribes of Alaska told lawmakers that tribes on both sides of the border have taken to doing their own environmental work, independent of state and provincial regulators.
Our way of life depends upon our health of the transboundary waters, and it's important for Alaska tribes and BC First Nations to be fully engaged for true collaboration to exist.
Commercial fishing groups have raised concerns about poor salmon returns in transboundary rivers, like the Taku and Stikine, which are some of the largest salmon-producing systems in the region. United Fishermen of Alaska's Francis Leach says salmon runs, particularly Chinook, have been falling off in transboundary watersheds.
UFA is increasingly concerned with the potential impacts to fish habitat and water resources from at least 12 large-scale open pit and underground metal mines in British Columbia that are abandoned, permitted, or operating in the headwaters of transboundary rivers.
But there was skepticism from at least one member of the House Fisheries Committee.
I grew up in northern Minnesota and I used to swim in the tailings ponds. And look at me.
That's Matt Sue Republican Kevin McCabe, who asked why mining interests aren't more represented in transboundary discussions.
It seems like we've heard from a whole bunch of fish people here today. I'm concerned that there's no balance in this hearing today.
The Dunleavy administration recently announced it had wrapped up its joint monitoring with BC after collecting 2 years of data. Both sides argued that in-stream surveys by the federal government, as well as samples being collected by tribes, made the state and provincial project duplicative. Chris Sargent of the Flathead Lake Biological Station has been tracking efforts to date. The university researcher told the House Fisheries Committee that key questions remained. Are the overall conditions of transboundary rivers changing over time? And how are polluting legacy mines, such as the long-closed Tulsiqua Chief, affecting the environment downstream?
To date, no monitoring efforts in transboundary watersheds have been designed to answer both of these questions.
Congress appropriated more than $3 million last year for renewed stream monitoring at border stream gauges operated by the U.S. Geological Survey. And a cross-border group of resource agency officials from both Alaska and BC continue to meet at least twice a year on transboundary issues. The tribe's human rights petition says upstream mine pollution from British Columbia could harm salmon and hooligan runs on the Taku, Stikine, and Yunik watersheds. It asked the Inter-American Commission on Human Rights to hold a hearing and investigate these concerns. Now the Canadian government has up to 4 months to formally respond. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Jacob Resnick.
In other news, a 12-year-old Juneau student has been crowned the Alaska State Spelling Bee champion. As KTOO's Bridget Dowd reports, after the State Bee was canceled last year, this was a much-needed win.
Zonta Kahini Middle School hosted its own spelling bee during the first week of March to determine who it would send to the statewide bee. This year, 7th grade student Ishida Kiani spelled all 25 words correctly. Here's her teacher and spelling bee proctor, Electra Gardiner.
It actually went on into another round, and again, she got all words correct, so she remained the top speller.
Normally, the statewide bee would be held in person in Anchorage, but due to COVID-19, Kiani says this year looked a little different.
We're doing it on online system where we just have to listen to a recording of someone saying the word, and there's information like the origin and the definition, as well as a sentence that has the word in it. And then we just have to write in a text box what we think the word spelling is.
Kiani took on the challenge in late March and received an email saying she was the top speller.
We didn't expect actually to win. I thought that maybe I just won the school spelling bee, and I was so excited when I actually saw that I won the state.
She will now represent Alaska in 3 nationwide online preliminary rounds this summer. If she makes the top 10, she'll head to Orlando, Florida, where the final competition will be broadcast on ESPN. Kiani says whether she gets there or not, she wants to continue entering spelling bees.
I really have a passion like for language arts. I really like writing essays and learning about new words to spell and like new adjectives and stuff to use. I feel like it's really good to have an open vocabulary, and it can make you sound more professional when you get older.
But Gardiner says she's already so far ahead, and with the challenges this year brought on, it's a nice change of pace.
It was a real glimmer of hope for us to know that one of our students is progressing so far and has taken the challenges of online learning and pushed herself even further than we could possibly imagine.
Kiani plans to go over the provided study sheets and take online spelling tests to prepare for her next challenge. In Juneau, I'm Bridget Dowd.
A national environmental justice group is joining local voices in the call for the state to halt a multi-million-dollar construction project at the Gus Davis Airport. Lawyers with Earth Justice want increased oversight of the federally funded project because toxic chemicals called PFAS are known to be present at the site. Earth Justice asked the Alaska Department of Transportation and the Federal Aviation Authority to discuss the project and its potential to further contaminate the soil and groundwater in Gustavus. PFAS are known as forever chemicals because they don't break down in the environment. There's evidence they're linked to cancer, thyroid problems, and other ill health effects. Staff attorney Jonathan Kalmus-Katz says federal agencies are legally obligated to do a better job at reviewing the impacts of PFAS before they approve projects.
That is something that is required by the National Environmental Policy Act. The National Environmental Policy Act says that before any federal agency takes action, it has to consider the impacts on surrounding communities and on the environment. And it has to look at alternatives to the action and ways to mitigate those impacts. And that was not done here.
The Department of Transportation has not stopped its work on the airport and does not yet have plans to meet with Earth Justice, according to an email. After the state found PFAS in asphalt that will be ground up at the site, it released a new management plan for contaminated materials. The Department of Transportation has scheduled a committee meeting in Gustavus next week. And former Alaskan Tommy Baudreau is on the way to becoming the second in command at the U.S. Interior Department. He'll be working for an administration pushing the nation's most ambitious climate agenda. But at his Senate confirmation hearing last week, Baudreau said he understands how important energy development is to Alaska. In 1979, his family moved to Anchorage so his father could work in Prudhoe Bay.
I'll always be grateful for my upbringing in Alaska. Alaska's where I learned to hunt, fish, ski, backpack, and appreciate the beauty, adventure, and the power of America's vast landscapes and wild places.
Baudreau graduated from Service High in 1990. He went to law school and joined the Obama administration during the Deepwater Horizon oil spill in 2010. He became the first director of the Bureau of Ocean Energy Management and was later chief of staff to then Interior Secretary Sally Jewell. Senator Lisa Murkowski says Baudreau is a straight shooter and someone she can work with, even if she didn't like the results that came out of the Obama administration. Murkowski and Jewell clashed over whether to allow a road for King Cove through the Eisenbeck National Wildlife Refuge. It was bitter, and Baudreau told Murkowski he knows what it's like to oppose her priorities.
I will say Some of the most harrowing experiences of my career have been sitting in your office and talking about issues that I know we had a difference of opinion on.
For more on this and other news stories, you can go to ktoo.org. This is KTOO News.